This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, it is. We're going until noon. So just an hour left in the program. Larry Hardesty coming your way at the top of the hour. He's going to be all over. You know, the Knicks, the Rangers, Yankees, Mets. A fun time here in New York City. So hit us up, 800-919-3776. Get at me on Twitter, at Ty D. Butler. Instagram as well. We'll get to your phone calls in a moment. So Dahmer, a.k.a. Tom Bauer, here you're going to be a part of DPH on Rothenberg this week, Monday through Wednesday.
I sure will be, and now I'm getting flashbacks when you brought up Dahmer again. Yes.
Well, because you do look like Dahmer. Who was it that came up with this? Was it Rick or Dave?
That would be Dave.
I think it's very appropriate.
I don't think that's the case.
And every time I'm in the room with you, I feel a little uncomfortable.
Well, that's sad.
Just a little bit uncomfortable. But who do we talk to about like the temperature in the studio? Because it's frigid.
That's a great question. That's a phone call that I've never made. But based on what I know, we give a call to some random outside number. And then supposedly, like magic, over the course of probably like 6 hours, the temperature will steadily rise by 1 degree.
How does that help us in this situation now? We've got an hour left in the show. I mean, it can't be more than like 35 degrees in this studio. I mean, poor Harvey Cruz, who's cut like 30 pounds of fat off of his body. So he's freezing in there. He's got the hat on. He's got the winter jacket. Like, this is just a mess. What are we doing here as a station? We're just coming apart at the seams.
Hey, listen, we just got to bring the heat in this hour on the radio, and maybe that'll naturally warm the studios up.
Speaking of bringing the heat, Harvey, front and center. You ready for this?
Uh-oh.
Can we recap your wedding yesterday? So first and foremost, congratulations to...
Well, first of all, it's not my wedding, but congrats to Allison and Evan, the new Mr. and Mrs. Wilkinson.
Do they look happy?
Oh, they were excited.
Now, you know what's so funny? Gordon Damer, who, you know, I got nothing but love for, he told me this a couple years ago. I don't know. I think he said this on the air, so it's fine, that him and his wife used to play a game at weddings where they would, like, predict if that marriage was going to last, which is, like, the fun. It's cruel, but it's also really funny. Now, if you can put that hat on, do you think this marriage is going to last?
Oh, absolutely.
Do they look does that look like a happily ever after marriage?
Yes, they were thrilled with each other. Their families are great. They've been together for such a long time through the ups and downs. They're
good.
Awesome. Yeah.
Love was in the air. So you had a plus one, I heard?
Plus one? Yes, she was great. She was awesome.
Was this someone you're romantically involved with?
Here we go again.
You know,
for the fun of it, yes.
This is someone you're romantically involved in?
No.
Involved with?
No.
So this was just a friend?
Very good friend of mine, yes.
And you guys both had some alcoholic beverages?
A little bit.
So she had some and you as well?
Yes.
And how'd the night end?
Oh, it was great.
Oh, really? So were there some, like, you know, sexual relations
that took place? No. What are we doing here?
So you just said the night was great. So
it was a family program.
How was the night great if you guys didn't do anything together?
It was great. Took lots of pictures. We looked great together. We danced a lot. Ate good food. It was a real blast.
And at no point did you feel like, you know, rubbing, you know, putting your hand down.
Use your words now.
I'm trying to be careful. I don't want these streets coming for me. At no point did you feel like, you know, a little smooch on the lips. No point did you feel that way. Your hands start moving to different places. You didn't feel that synergy between you two guys. Or I felt
I felt the synergy, but it didn't go there. It was real cool, though.
You were just were you nervous? You feel like she was interested? You just couldn't pull the trigger?
Well, I'm always nervous, no matter what the situation is. I'm nervous regardless.
But do you feel like if you had tried, she would have been remotely interested?
Maybe. I don't know. I probably would.
So here's what you do, man. Hit it with the text. Just be like, yo, had a really good time with you last night. The pictures came out great, and I'm thinking maybe we can, you know, go out sometime, you know, have some more fun in the future. So what you got to do? Send a follow-up text.
I will do that.
I'm John. Tom, aren't I being a good friend here? He's clearly a little bit interested in this woman, so he's got to find a way to, you know, get some confidence.
I will say, Ty, sometimes you're a terrible person.
Me?
Listen,
yes,
but
that is actually really good advice, I will say.
It's cool. Like, there's something there. And what Harvey has working for him is the fact that he's lost some weight, so he looks better than he ever has. Like, when I first met Harvey, I was very concerned. Now, clearly, he's taking his health seriously, and he cares about how he presents himself to the public.
I think you're concerned about me regardless of how I look like.
Nah, I mean, you were in the short shorts with the shirt tucked in, you know, with the baseball cap. Yeah, that's, you still got some, look, God is still working on all of us. We're all severely flawed. But you're working your way to, you know, relevancy and representable nature. So I'm proud of you, bro. What are you, 167 now?
167.8 was when I weighed in yesterday.
And you can't wait to tell Instagram about it, because every single day there's a new story on your Instagram your weight.
I'm sorry. I set a goal for myself, and I like to celebrate my achievements. It did get likes though, so
it's a little much. It's a little much.
What's your goal? You got a goal for you got a weight goal or no?
I wanted to get to the. I was at 217, and I wanted to get into the 190s pre half marathon that's taking place on May 18th.
So how tall are you again?
I'm 5'11", 6 feet.
Okay.
So I was 217, and now I'm down to 197.
See, now you're down to, what do you call it just now? Relevancy? Representative nature or something?
Yeah, relevancy and what did I say? Representative?
Representative nature.
I think I was trying to go for representable, but, you know, talking extemporaneously for 3 hours, your brain starts to kind of do weird things. But you look good, man. Tom, the podcast invite, when are we cooking that? I got a lot of things to say about baseball.
And what are some of these things? Let's give the people a little tease. What do you want to say?
I mean, this is a big, I don't want to say it's a big story, but it caught me off guard. Aaron Judge having to answer this question.
Does that bother you when Yankee fans vent a little bit at you?
I've heard worse, and I'd probably be doing the same thing in their situation.
They were booing him at the stadium yesterday. Now, look, no one's above reproach. And when you're hitting, 179, and he's struck out 4 times, and, you know, he's got, like, 2 hits in his last 20 at-bats, you're going to hear it from the fans. Jeter got booed. Mariano got booed. So, like, you're never too good to get booed. And I'm never going to criticize fans for expressing themselves. As long as it's, you know, falls within the lines of respect, it's a part of what we look at for sports fandom. You're not being disrespectful or, you know, overt. That's cool. But that didn't alarm you a little bit that Judge was getting booed at the stadium yesterday?
No, they booed Giancarlo Stanton after game one
while
back.
But this isn't Stanton. This is the captain of the team. He came up through the system. Yankee fans adore him.
And guess what? He's held to a higher standard, arguably the highest standard. So if you're not performing, you're not... You should be subject to the same exact ridicule your teammates are going to be exhibited upon.
So again, I'm not planting my flag on a stance of whether or not I agree or disagree with it. I'm just saying it was alarming.
Would you bench him like that call that said earlier?
Oh
today?
My God, what a ridiculous phone call! But I handled it pretty nicely. A lot of people would have cursed him out, hung up on him, rant, all that. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. I'm trying my best to you know, spew positivity and set the tone for what should be a glorious, glorious day in the Lord. I don't want to be, but that was like borderline just insane, right? Like, could the Yankees bench him? Really?
Easiest way to describe that. Post 420 thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, we were doing the Bloody Marys read. I asked him if he was, you know, because Sunday's a big brunch day. And, you know, sometimes you get it started early, right? Take a couple shots, get to the bottomless brunch, and you're feeling nice. The idea that the Yankees would ever entertain benching Judge, I mean, he could go 0 for his next 40. You're not going to bench him. Could you give him a rest day? Sure. Could you... could we then learn at some point that he's bothered by some sort of injury? That's certainly on the table. But that caller was just off of his rocker. Here was Aaron Boone yesterday. Are you worried about Judge's struggles?
It's a hard game, man. We can go back in history of time and talk about great players go through a little funk. Not worried at all. Aaron Judge, he'll be fine.
So this is not to criticize the reporter or anything, but is there any scenario that exists, Tom, where if someone asks Aaron Boone, are you concerned about Judge? And he says, yes, I'm absolutely concerned.
There is never a situation where any manager will say, yes, I'm concerned, unless there is an immediate injury that will require him to be out for an extended period of time, if not the rest of the season. Every manager will say no in that situation.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, especially Aaron Boone, who, I mean, has never met a negative situation that he wasn't positive about. But the Yankees 14-7 on the season. They look to win this series against the Rays, rubber game of the set coming up this afternoon at the stadium. Then they'll welcome in the A's for four more. The Mets, meanwhile, go for the sweep against the Dodgers, playing really good baseball. Winners of 12 of the last 15 games. Francisco Alvarez is going to have thumb surgery. It's not what you want. Hit 25 home runs last season. Hasn't been great this year, but still someone that you consider to be a key cog of your lineup, especially for a team that doesn't really have a large margin for error. But, you know, despite all that, this team is playing really good right now. Just 2.5 games behind the Braves. It's early. We don't do standings watch on April 21st. But just to put into perspective, you go from 0-5 to we're just 2.5 games behind the Braves for the best record in the National League. Every Met fan should be excited. Recapping what happened in the Garden yesterday, here's Josh Hart on the Game 1 win.
I mean, starters, we got to bring energy. We got to do a better job to start the game and to start the third quarter. So, can't wait till we're down 10 to start playing. So, that's something we'll definitely talk about tomorrow. But that's just, you know, we're resilient. You know, I guess we just like making it tough for ourselves.
Speaking of can't wait, here were the Knicks fans after the game yesterday. All right, Tom, I'll put you on the spot. Is that something or nothing?
In terms of what do you mean something?
Like, is that should we frown upon Knicks fans for doing that? Or is that just, you know, let them have some fun?
Let them have fun. They won a game. Listen, people are calling them like the underdogs at one point when clearly they were the favorites. So they're receiving a lot of hate, especially from a lot of people in the media as well. So let them have their fun. Do I think it's too early to be chanting, "We want Boston"? Absolutely. But that's the goal of where you want to get to, which is going to be the Eastern Conference Finals. So I don't have a problem with it. Maybe it's a little too early.
So the "We want Boston," they are chanting outside of the Garden after they just beat the Sixers. You're talking about the Celtics, who finished the year 64-18 with a differential of 11.4. I mean, it's one of, in modern history, the great regular season teams we've seen. When you look at point differential, when you look at their splits, and they're led by Jason Tatum, they're led by Jaylen Brown, two all-stars. Kristaps Porzingis had a great year. There's a champion in Jrue Holiday. Al Horford gives them some veteran leadership. You know, that's Derek White. That's a loaded team. So this, after the game, I'll tell you this, that's not going to be the last we hear of that. That is not going to be the last we hear of those chants. Right, Emmanuel and Clifton? What do you got for us, buddy? 800-919-3776.
Hey, I'm loving it. All right, listen, the Knicks are rolling, fellas. The hottest team in the NBA right now as of late, and there's no better time to do it. What they are doing right now is just incredible with the lineup that they are doing it with. And they're doing it as a complete team. I am so confident that the Knicks will make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm. Better yet, if the Knicks make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, I will publicly put my face on a blimp or on a billboard for my good friend Carlos. And it will say, "Let's go, Knicks."
Listen.
Seven more, fellas. Seven more. Wins, bro.
But then after seven more, you got to get eight more. So, you know, hashtag job not done.
Job is not done. I don't care. We don't need superstars. We don't need any of that in New York. We're fine the way it is right now. The team is rolling. We rely heavily on role players, Bogdanovich and McBride, and who knows? Who knows? You know, nobody knows these guys.
Yeah, well, listen, you might already have a superstar. And I appreciate the call, Emmanuel. Thanks for waiting patiently. I know we got busy there last hour and, you know, got a chance to get to you. So I appreciate that. But you might have a superstar. Jalen Brunson in April averaged 36 points, 9 assists on 49% shooting. I mean, that has all the makings of a superstar. It was one of the best seasons overall in franchise history. If I had an All-NBA vote, he would be on my first team. If I had an MVP vote, I'd probably have him like fourth or fifth behind Jokic, SGA, and Luka, and then maybe behind Giannis, but it would be a struggle between him and Giannis, who finishes fourth. He's had an exceptional season. and he might be the superstar that you guys were looking for. Ultimately, there's still some work that needs to be done as far as putting this team and building them into a legitimate championship contender. But right now, it's enjoyable. It's fun. When you watch Josh Hart get dared by the Sixers to shoot threes, and he drained four of them season high last night, including the circus shot that essentially, you know, was the dagger and won them the game. How do you not enjoy that? How do you not enjoy that? When you see Mitchell Robinson get the hack of Mitchell Robinson was in effect, and Embiid damn near tackled Brunson trying to foul Mitchell Robinson, and he goes to the free throw line and sinks both of them. He had the big putback. He played excellent defense. Deuce McBride coming in strong yesterday, pouring in 21 points, had a game-high plus 37. He was spectacular. And then, of course, you know, OG Anunoby hits that big shot, that three at the end of the game to help them get a 111-104 victory. That's a fun win, man. And the Garden going to be rocking again today because you got the Rangers in about, you know, 3.5 hours or so facing off game one of their postseason run. Islanders fell yesterday to the Hurricanes. So, we, you know, you could be looking at a second-round date. Carolina and the Rangers for the second time in the last 3 years, but it all gets started today. And you know, Henrik Lundqvist on the K Show was asked, "Is it possible that the Rangers will be overconfident?"
Well, I think that's where Peter comes in, right? It's important that what's being said right now, and back to the respect you're showing your opponent. You know, Washington, they were beating a lot of good teams down the stretch, and they earned a spot in the playoffs. So for that reason alone, you need to be very smart in how you approach the game and this series. And I'm sure they will. They've been very good, I think, all year to evaluate themselves, their opponents, and how to play to have success.
And that comes from a veteran who understands what it means to be in these playoff moments because, you know, what would be the reason for overconfidence? Well, you're playing a team that finished with a negative goal differential, minus 37. You're playing a team that barely got into the playoffs. But you have to understand that because of that urgency, they ended the season with having to win and scratch and claw to every game just to get to this point. They've got some momentum, and you, they got to have your attention. The Rangers did, as Pat say, it took all to, you know, game 82 to lock everything up. So they still had their foot on the gas, which I think is going to work in their favor. But coming off of what happened last year, getting bounced in round one, the expectations through the roof, and then you experience that type of a deflation. You had to come in strong, new head coach, and to have this type of a regular season where you are going to have home ice throughout, it's a lot of pressure on you. It's a lot of pressure on you. And I think their playoff run actually starts next round because this is going to be an easy one, a cakewalk. They'll win this in about 5 games. And then we start to really see what this team is about. You'll have the Islanders or the Hurricanes up next. And that'll be where this team has to realize their expectations. You can't get bounced there. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, like, I just can't put it in my mind that they have that type of a regular season and then they get bounced in round one. I know what happened to the Bruins last year, but Rangers, y'all better not lose this series. Y'all better not lose this series. Go take care of business. 800-919-3776. Get back to your phone calls coming up. We'll talk some NFL draft. Everything's on the table. So we march this thing toward noon right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Little Method Man on the show, huh? That's how you feeling today, Tom?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Ty Butler going until 12 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. Larry Hardesty's coming your way at the top of the hour. He's going to be all over everything. So let's do that. Quickly, I wanted to mention this before we get back to the phone calls at 800-919-3776. Tom Harvey, have you guys seen the movie Fatal Attraction?
Can't say that I have.
It's an older movie, and I'm not really a fan of, like, older movies, especially when they come across that way, but this is something that I saw pop up on Paramount Plus, and then I did some research, and said, you know, it sounds interesting, and man, it was terrifying. So it's listed as a genre, thriller, and crime, But it's terrifying. And I'll say this, because Harvey, you told me during the break that this is on your to-do list this week.
It's on my list, because I think Peter was talking about it this week or a while back, but it's been on my list.
It's a nice plot. It's certainly something that you've heard about before. But all I'll say, because I don't want to ruin it, even though the movie came out in 87, this is the type of movie, if you ever thought about cheating on your partner, watch this and it will humble you real quick. This will be like the best form of discipline. That movie right there will humble you real quick. You ever thought about engaging in some infidelity? Man, watch the movie Fatal Attraction. And I wanted to talk about it, but Harvey, you said you're going to watch it this week, so I don't want to ruin it for you. But, Michael Douglas, that's his film. Ann Archer, who was gorgeous in that movie. She looks phenomenal in that movie. What was it? Thursday night. There was nothing on television because the Yankees and the Mets were off and the NBA playoffs were like in the in-between. 7-8s had wrapped up, so you were getting to the 8-seed matchups with the 9 and 10s. So there was nothing on Thursday night. I said, you know what? This looks like a nice movie. And I watched it. And it was really good, but it was also very terrifying. So it's definitely on the recommend list for all of those out there. Quickly, before we get back to the phone calls, I saw this past week pop up because Seth Wickersham dropped a bombshell article about how Robert Kraft played saboteur with Bill Belichick going to the Atlanta Falcons. And one of the, biggest headlines to come from this story was that Belichick now, who's going to spend this season unemployed, has on his watch list the Eagles and the Cowboys. Okay, so that makes sense. The Eagles underachieved last year. Nick Sirianni, I think, deserves the benefit of the doubt just to see it through. He got the team to a Super Bowl. So, let's see what he can do as far as, rebounding. Give him one more shot at this. I thought the Cowboys made a mistake bringing Mike McCarthy back. Clearly, he's overwhelmed. He's not cut out for that job. That is a roster that's talented enough to win a Super Bowl. And you can blame Dak and Micah, whatever. They clearly have a head coaching problem. So I thought that would have been the right move for Belichick. But also on this list with the Giants. And I can't quite figure out how that would make sense for any of the two parties. Because if Brian Daboll gets fired, it means the Giants are entering a rebuild. Because he's done enough to warrant getting another year, obviously. You're not going to fire him 2 years removed, or now 1 year removed from a playoff appearance. That would be silly. So he's earned the right to get another shot, right? So now, if they take a quarterback, the one thing you don't do is allow that rookie quarterback to just have his coach ousted after one season. You want to give him at least 2 years because this is an offensive genius who we've seen develop quarterbacks. So you want to see that process through. But if the Giants don't draft the quarterback and they end up having a miserable season to the point where it necessitates you having to fire Brian Daboll, they're entering a rebuild. How does that sound attractive for 73-year-old Bill Belichick? And it's not to be ageist. It's just, wouldn't you want someone else to come in and oversee this operation? First of all, the last time Belichick was in charge of a rebuild, that didn't go great. Look at Mac Jones. That was a disaster. And how he handled the coaching staff, it was just a full-blown mess. So I just don't get how those timelines match up. If you're Belichick, you want to go to a team like Philly or Dallas that has the roster that is capable of winning a championship, you just feel like is maybe a head coach away from getting them there. That won't be the Giants if they fire Daboll. And if you're the Giants, why are you bringing in this guy to oversee a rebuild? So that story didn't make much sense to me. I don't think it's going to happen, but I felt like it was worth addressing. I talked about this earlier too. I hope the Jets don't take Brock Bowers. You did not sit through that miserable season last year and say, you know what? Like, as bad as we are, you know what I think could fix it? A tight end. At no point did you ever think that. And as special as Brock could become in this league, super talented. You understand why, you know, GMs, scouts, all the draft experts are raining down praises on this guy. They're raving about him. It's obviously a luxury move, and it's a sexy pick, but for a team that doesn't necessarily feel like it's in position to make that sexy pick, you don't have the luxury of doing that. I would love for them to be a tight end away from being a contender. That's not the case. You got to be mindful of age and injuries on this offensive line. They bring in Morgan Moses. They bring in Tyron Smith. They bring in Simpson. AVT's coming back from injury, though. Smith's always hurt. Like, these guys are old. Like, you need a contingency plan behind a unit that we've now watched for 4 years under Joe Douglas just be atrocious and progressively get worse. So I understand, like, why in theory you would want to throw your eggs all into the basket of, you know, skill position players, because you think Rodgers could come in and take whoever he has and elevate them a notch. So imagine Brock Bowers with one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen, and then opposite, you know, Garrett Wilson and then Mike Williams. So, like, I understand why in theory that sounds, you know, that sounds very attractive. It's just that you're not in position to do that. And I mentioned this earlier, Connor Rogers, who's, I mean, fantastic, with the perfect analogy of that situation, it's dessert before vegetables. That's not a move you make. It's not a move you make. 800-919-3776. We'll get back to your phone calls when we return right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so two quick things before we get back to the phone calls at 800-919-3776. I was driving in this morning listening to, the best week ever, Courtney Cronin and Aaron Goldhammer. And Aaron said something that I just completely disagree with. He alluded to the fact that Embiid last night in that game against the Knicks, where he throws the alley off the backboard and dunks it and then gets hurt, that was reckless. And, you know, he's got to be smarter than that, because, you know, he's got to understand the long game here. And I could not disagree with that more. Embiid's trying to score points. I don't think he was doing that to be flashy. Now, if this were a fast break and he's throwing it underneath his legs and doing a windmill 360, then sure, you can say, I mean, come on, that's foolish. But Mitchell Robinson had played excellent defense on him, and he's trying to get a shot off. So he saw the best way to do that is to throw it off the backboard, catch it, and dunk it. He's trying to score points. I give him B credit for doing everything in his power to try to, you know, put his team in position to win the game. And, you know, that's the second quarter, so it's not going to win the game. But, you know, him just trying to score. He's the best scorer that can't play when he's not on the floor. So when he's on the floor, he has to score. So I just completely disagreed with that. And then the second thing is, last night I was so annoyed because I'm up on my couch and it's 15 minutes past midnight. And I'm thinking, boxing always gets it wrong. Because you're already a sport that has now decreased in popularity for a lot of reasons. Other sports have become more popular, but I mean, the governing bodies and all these promotions get in the way of the big fights. They get delayed. There are too many belts. It just, it confuses, like, the average person. So I just couldn't quite figure out how that your main event, one of the biggest fights of the year, Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, is being held in Brooklyn on the East Coast, and somehow 15, 20 minutes past midnight, the fight still hasn't started? Like, what's going on here? So, I mean, I was just annoyed, and then knowing I had to get up early to do the show. But then that annoyance quickly turned into, like jubilation, because it was a great fight. And I'm as tired as I was this morning, it was so worth it. Ryan Garcia put on a show, and coming into it, there were questions about his conditioning because he missed weight. And, you know, because of all of, you know, all of the shenanigans, you know, this guy was, he was just, I don't know, like, kind of losing his mind. And he was like erratic to the point where you would legitimately question, like, was he okay? Like, is this fight actually going to happen? Is there some bigger things that you need to be concerned about with Ryan Garcia? And not that any of that has been suppressed, because I think those questions still are on the table. But I gave him credit, man. I mean, the performance he put on display last night, you can tell it was, he was not going to be able to win just outboxing Devin Haney for 12 rounds and, like, you know, back and forth affair. He was going to have to pick his spots. And the spots he did pick, the rounds where he just kind of gave it his all, knocked Haney down three times, that's what won him the fight. And it ends up, we're a third of the way through the year, that ends up registering right now as the fight of the year. And I know sometimes you're just too reactionary, everything's the best. That was the fight of the year so far. Haney and Garcia. No one thought Garcia was going to win that one, and it just took it to Haney. And Haney's talking all this, you know, he wants smoke with Tank Davis. Buddy, after last night's performance, simmer down a little bit, my G. But Garcia put on a show last night. Put on an absolute show. And then you went into the 12th. If you watched the fight, because of what you're watching, and then you see Mannix's scorecard, you're thinking 12th round is going to be able to decide at all. But then you learn, based on how the judges scored it, one of them had it even. One judge had it 115-109, and the other judge had 114-110. You now, in retrospect, see that Haney, in order to win that fight, would have had to knock Garcia out in the 12th round. And Garcia was not getting knocked out. The referees, he became too big of a story. It was controversial because he just was in the way, and he took a point away from Garcia and didn't even give him a warning. And he also allowed Haney to skate, because Haney was about to get knocked out, and I believe it was like the seventh or eighth round was about to get knocked out, and the referee stands in there and allowed him to catch his breath and, you know, separated them and didn't do too good of a job officiating that fight. But I'm glad that did not become the story. And the story was a dominant victory for Ryan Garcia, who, you know, is going to be on a verbal rampage going forward. So we'll check that out. I'm looking forward. Usyk and Fury's coming up next, and I'm rooting for Fury because I want to see Fury and Joshua. So we finally get one of the biggest heavyweight matches we've seen in quite some time. Taj is in the story. What's up, Taj?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have two quick points in the game last night, Knicks and Sixers.
All right, let's hear it.
So basically, I want to congratulate Knicks on a gutsy win. You know, it was an all-out team effort, and, you know, it was definitely exciting to watch that type of basketball where, you know, we're making shot after shot, and, you know, it's under pressure, and that was really fun. But my concern was how scary Maxey is right now. He's just scoring like on will, and, you know, every time Knicks thought we had some kind of lead, he was just scoring on will, and that's what's scaring me. So they definitely have to put a check on that. So
yeah, I mean, Maxey's a great player, and I appreciate the call. That was maybe the best playoff game he's ever played in. And you knew that was going to be a concern coming into the series, but the Knicks were able to weather the storm. I think you should actually feel encouraged that him and Embiid, just from a number standpoint, played so well, and you still found a way to win that game. Let's go to Dave in the car. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me on. Love the show. Here's the thing with last night's game, and I'm not trying to be negative here. I'm glad the Knicks won. I find them to be a gritty, gutty organization. But it's also a bit of humble pie for a lot of the fans who are calling in saying, we got this. Embiid's not 100. Embiid almost pulled off a Willis Reed last night in the Garden. That would have been a really scary loss on a few levels. And it just shows you that the Knicks still have to walk through some fire, and they have to bring in some – it's not just about having a bunch of guys who played in college together and being gutty and gritsy. They still need to bring in bona fide, clutch, big-moment players to surround who, in my opinion right now, is the next heir to being the best point guard in the NBA. Am I wrong to take that position, or did you think that? Did you get the feeling people thought that this was going to be a cakewalk?
Well, a lot of people thought this was going to be a cakewalk of a series for two reasons: Embiid not being healthy, and he's got a checkered postseason resume. Like his numbers go right way down once he gets to the playoffs. So a lot of Knicks fans took this series lightly. But I'm gonna be honest, Dave. So I picked the Knicks to win this series in seven games, right? I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm a Laker fan, but you know, I root for the Knicks to do well because I think it's fun. I think it's fun. I want to be at the games. I was rooting for the Sixers to win that game last night, and once it got to the fourth quarter, they're up three. I wanted to see the Sixers win because then I think it made the series more interesting. Now I feel like it's kind of lost a lot of juice, and Embiid's not going to be able to survive the wear and tear of a series, and I think the Knicks winning the bad Brunson game is spells doom for Philly.
Let me just ask one more quick question, since you mentioned Embiid again. I really feel like I notice he's putting pressure on himself, but I really feel like they might be doing him a disservice. It's almost like watching the whole Durant thing play out where they were like, oh, you just got an inflamed ligament or whatever, and then he blows out, you know, his Achilles. And I'm looking at Embiid at being almost 300 pounds, and it just seems like, I don't know, man. It wouldn't surprise me if this guy really took himself out. I would shut it down if I were him, but maybe there's pressure on him to try to tough it out.
I think he's putting pressure on himself, Dave, and I appreciate the call. He's like actually one of the biggest players we've ever seen, just like physique-wise. At 7 feet, 300 pounds, or 280. So he's listed at 7 feet, 280. And I think because he hears the noise about not coming through in the playoffs, because he sees that there is an open path, a clear path to them getting to a conference finals because of how the bracket is shaken up, I think he's putting pressure on himself. But I don't disagree with the fact that it might be a disservice just because, you know, Durant was dealing with a calf injury that was a precursor to him blowing out his Achilles, and Embiid's coming off of a surgically repaired knee, and he just doesn't look good so far through the first two games of his playoff run. Coming up next, we will talk to Larry Hardesty. His show is coming up at noon, so we'll get to talk to him and see what he's got cooking for noon. Right here on 98.7
ESPN. This is the Ty Butler Show. On 98.7 ESPN.
Ty Butler, 98.7 ESPN. Hit me on Twitter at Ty D. Butler. Instagram, Ty D. Butler. And of course, 800-919-3776. Coming up at noon, the great Larry Hardesty. He's going to be taking you till 2:30. And he's got Don LaGreca coming on the show to preview the Rangers game. Pat Ragazzo. He's going to come on the show to talk about his streaking Mets, which is where we start. Larry, your Mets have now won 12 of 15. Don't call it a comeback. From 0-5 to where they're now, 12-8.
Oh, Ty, you don't know. You don't know. First of all, good afternoon, my friend. Great job, as always. I've been listening to you.
Thank you,
bro. Got me rolling this morning. Ty, I had, to be fair, low expectations for this team. And I took it from the team itself, right? They said they were dialing it back. We'll really go after things in 2025 and whatnot. And the biggest thing for me was I've been waiting for them to sign a legal DH, like a legitimate DH. Okay, I've been begging for a legitimate DH since the DH came to the National League. And so they finally signed J.D. Martinez, who promptly gets hurt.
Yeah. They call that old age.
Exactly. But they still have found ways to win. Pitching has been better than I expected. The bullpen has been better than I expected, although I'm a realist. I know you can't keep going five innings and your bullpen coming in to get 15 outs, right, rather, and you're going to continue. But listen, for the time being, I'll take the wins.
How about this, man? Look, it's April 21st. What the hell are we doing looking at the standings? But from 0-5 to today, now you're just 2.5 games back of the best record in the National League. It's just insane, man, considering like all you've gone through so far earlier in the season. And without your best pitcher, Lindor's kind of come on this weekend, a couple hits again yesterday, had the home run Friday night. But you got to love where you are if you're a Met fan right now. This team has been playing pretty well. But, Larry, what'd you think about this right here? You want the 64-18 Boston Celtics, who won 4 or 5 against you this year? Is that the smoke you want right now after you just won one playoff game?
Ty, you don't understand. Knicks fans are thirsty for a title, dying of thirst for a title, and overreaction is the key thing for Knicks fans. We love to do it. That's that's who we are. And we want the best. And we feel that we can beat, we're just ready to go. So personally, as a Knicks fan, am I ready to see Boston? No, I'm not ready to see Boston. Can I get by Philly first? Okay, because I almost didn't get by Philly last night. So can I get by Philly first?
Yeah.
You know, but this is the grizzled, old, experienced Knicks fan. For the young Knicks fans that hit 7th Avenue and Broadway last night, they want Denver. They don't even want Boston. Let's go to Denver. Let's go.
I like that. We want Denver. I'm saying is I don't want to rain on anyone's parade. You won two playoff series in a quarter century, and you're chanting that you want Boston, not the next round, but the round after that. Remember, we were doing the same thing 4 years ago after you beat the Hawks, and what was that, game two of that series? And then what happened after? They were chanting, we want Brooklyn. How'd that work out?
It didn't work out.
So I guess with age does not come wisdom. All right, quickly, because you got your show coming up here. I'm not a Ranger fan. I root for the Rangers, of course. But so I look at this a little bit differently. Their playoffs actually start next round. Because I don't think this is going to be much of a challenge. The Capitals, I mean, barely got in. Minus 37 goal differential. This should not be an evenly matched series. I get hockey, weird things happen, but Rangers, come on, man. You got to get this done.
Rangers should get this done, Ty, but I caution you this. Ovechkin brings back some memories. You get an injury. The Rangers inconsistent 5-on-5. Great on the power play. Shesterkin a little shaky. The pressure's on this team. When you're a president's winning team, Ty, everybody expects you to win every series easy. Sometimes that pressure weighs on you. But you're right. Rangers should win it.
So this, if they lose this series, you know, this is up there with your Mets 2 years ago when they won 100 games at the highest payroll ever and then got bounced in round one. That's this level of embarrassment.
And you know what, Ty? The Mets still haven't recovered from that. They still haven't recovered.
Because the Rangers have been knocking on the door. You bring in a new head coach.
Yep.
I mean, all these expectations. You got the best record in hockey, home ice throughout. I mean,
absolutely.
You could not have asked for a better. Like, you're in a great spot right now. You get a team that, I mean, they split during the season, but the Rangers are better. So this should be like a nice little 5-game series to warm up for whoever comes out of the Hurricanes and the Islanders.
You're right. And what are all the papers saying, Ty? It's about 30 years. It's perfect. 94, perfect.
O.J. Simpson, right? Like we're doing all the
pressure.
O.J. Knicks, and Knicks.
Knicks doing well. Pressure. Pressure.
Well, Larry, I'll be listening to you on my drive home, man. Have a great show.
Appreciate you, brother.